Nerdist Podcast Network.
The network children ask for by name.
The Defenestrate Media Network.
From cradle to grave, every moment of your life is one word after another, overlapping all the words from all of those who've crossed your path in a never-ending cycle of tale and experience. There are no prizes, no contests, no rules and no boundaries. Just a few minutes spent exchanging the narrative from moments of our own human existence. Welcome to Tell Me a Story.
It is a bottle I was given by my friend Cynthia.
Well, let me see.
Who's now my boss.
Oh.
As a thank you for throwing a funeral.
Oh, bad news.
Yeah.
Good funeral.
It was a great funeral.
It was a wake.
But,
good guy, smart guy.
Yeah, he was. I miss him a lot. He, now, as we talked through everything, before I broke my neck, because that's where we left off. I'm driving around with a busted neck, wearing a silly soft collar at this point, or a Philly, and then we're doing Animal Farm up in Greeley.
Yes,
we're gonna come to the culmination of that. But something happened earlier.
Oh no,
that we forgot.
Oh no,
no, it's when we were living on 17th and Gaylord. In the further manner,
yes,
the 6 weeks of Tina.
Oh, 6 weeks of Tina. How could we forget six weeks? 6 weeks?
I was all.
You lucky bastard.
But, yeah, she dumped me for her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, I hate that.
Remember?
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, where was I going with this? So,
it was post-Megan.
Yeah, quite a ways.
And were we playing?
Megan had already moved out.
Megan. And were we playing at Euphrates? Did Tina ever come to one of the... Okay, so it's during Tina.
Yeah.
It's before me moving in with Michelle, and this is... No.
No, this is happening during that time.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm a Corton.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not being aggressive about it.
All right.
But I am constantly making sure I am there to smile and be pretty.
Yes.
No, and so we dated for a little while, and then she broke up with me, and it snapped my soul in twain.
Yeah?
And I moved back to Utah. Do you remember this?
No, what kind of penance did you have to pay to move back?
Well, I ended up spending... 3 or 4 months sleeping on Johnny's floor.
Oh, yeah.
In his living room, in his one bedroom apartment with his wife.
Oh.
Which was why Michelle did not like me for a very long time. And because I was under fucking foot. Make no mistake. I know how much I overstayed my welcome in that place. I had nowhere else to go, Sarge.
Oh, Jeff.
But. I'm back in Utah.
Yes.
I run into, and this is, I feel as though you're taking a lot of ownership.
What?
Of things that I don't feel like I have been honest enough with some of the dirty shit I've done.
Oh, okay.
You know, when you write on the Facebook about us having these chats.
Yes.
You're all like, I'm so sorry. And I'm over here going,
I am really dang sorry. I am dang sorry, but I mean, this is it. This is the truth, and I have to do it. I have to do it.
So I ran into... I don't want to make light of this, because this is a Tell Me a Story on a whole nother level.
Okay. But I ran into
somebody that I had had, Emily, I'd had a thing for
Emily.
Years. We met in when we were 16 at the Shakespearean Festival down
Beautiful
in...
Beautiful woman.
And
very funny, very smart, a little biting.
She had a rapier wit.
All right.
Poke. And she was dating somebody that was younger than her. And so I kept running into her at this dance club where her boyfriend couldn't go because he wasn't old enough. And I'm like, well, fucking perfect. And I... aggressively, almost angrily, courted, tried to convince her, you know, that that this guy was no good and that I was the perfect choice.
You totally did. You did.
And then I wrote a book.
An entire book.
That was a lot like some of the conversations she and I had had.
Yes, yes.
It's part of it. But there's a whole bunch of other stuff. You read it.
I read the book.
The copy I have has your edits in it still.
Many, many lots of edits.
The only copy that exists is the one with your handwriting.
Well, let's do a redo on that.
It's in the storage unit.
All right.
So, I'm in Utah for a little while.
Yeah, and then
I go back to Colorado.
Yes, with Emily.
Ilsa.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So I spent three or four months chasing after Emily like the biggest dick in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you were always down talking to her boyfriend, and he didn't like her, but you were pretending to be his friend, all that kind of stuff.
I think I met him once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
Maybe twice.
Okay.
Anyway,
I was extrapolating.
A little bit, but it was, no. I'm pretty sure I would have been a dick to his face.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
Youngster.
But, yeah. I called him Mowgli.
He was such a dick.
His man cup. No, I was out of line.
Oh, okay, okay.
And it came to a head one day, and she was like, you know what? I just don't want you in my life. And I went, you know what? I don't deserve to be in it.
Oh.
I didn't. And so I started doing something else, moved out of John's, got an apartment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whole,
and then you went to
a whole lot of other stories
thing,
in there.
The whole thing happened.
And then I ended up dating a girl named Ilsa.
Yeah.
She was German Chilean.
Whoa.
Fiery.
Fiery.
Fiery. And that was all of its own. That's a whole other thing. Another tell me a story.
Okay.
Whole
okay.
relationship. And she dumped me several times.
Uh-huh.
And I finally just had enough and went back to Denver.
Yay.
Oh, funny story. So I was staying with a couple of friends, and I won't mention their names because there's drug use involved and they don't deserve that. But one of them took our rent money and bought meth with it. And
whoa.
So we all got evicted, and I didn't have anywhere to stay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had some money.
Uh-huh.
But at this particular time in my life, I was, 22, 23?
Maybe.
I didn't know about motels. The fuck do I know about motels? So I didn't have anywhere to stay, and so I was kind of like, well, I'll just sleep in my car.
Yeah.
And it was getting on to about 5 or 6 in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I'll just drive to Joey's.
Joey's?
So I drove to Denver. And crashed for the weekend.
At Joey's.
He was living with Scott out by Stapleton Airport.
Okay, okay.
And so I spent the weekend there, and then Sunday drove home so I could start my new job on Monday.
Oh, no.
And it was working at the bar on 4 South and West Temple.
That's good.
And the owner found out that I had, what she figured was that I'd slept in my car.
Yeah.
Not that I had had enough cash on hand to drive to fucking Denver.
Right.
You know, and spend the weekend there. And so she got me moved into an apartment on top of the bar.
Oh, that's totally cool.
At which point I parked my Toyota.
Yeah.
Did not drive it again for about 5 months. There was food, there was booze, there was girls, there was music. Everything was right there in that corner.
Excellent. Could you say the name of the place?
It was Portacall.
Portacall.
It's now the Borg Cube Federal Courthouse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm against that.
So anyway, I came back here for a little while, and then I left and went back to Denver.
Yeah.
And it was all, I got dumped by a girl, I moved to Utah. I act like an asshole to a girl because I'm in Utah. So I move out of an apartment to another place. I start dating up another girl. She dumps me with prejudice.
Yeah.
She's got me blocked on Facebook.
Oh.
You know, I mean, like, she obviously, there's still a little acrimony left in that.
Right.
But, and then I move again because in my life, change is always been triggered, you know, by women.
Right. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Because I am weak.
Are you a weak man? You're a passionate man.
I used to be.
You're not a weak man. You are a sensitive. Well, I'm not, like, oversensitive. Well, true. You're sometimes oversensitive. But what I'm saying is, you are a person who has deep feelings, and you pick a woman, and you have deep feelings to the woman, and there are sometimes that they are not reciprocated. There are sometimes... What are you looking at over there?
I'm just sort of doing editor, producer stuff.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right, all right.
Listening. Look, I don't pick them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The fates pick them.
I know.
Destiny.
Yes, I know. I know.
And destiny.
Yeah.
And fate, even.
Uh-huh.
The fickle finger of fate having fucks off.
Uh-huh.
You know? And, I mean, that's just what it is. So, and there was a period in my life where I was driven by, let's call it, carnal desires.
Yes.
Both to love and to feel love.
Yes.
To the animalistic desires to take what I wanted when I wanted it, like drugs.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's like, I wanted to take LSD for a whole month. Every day. That's dumb. I mean, that is some pure grade A dipshit.
Turned out to be a poor decision.
Just want that for that 3 minutes.
Except the rest of the month.
My colonic integrity. You know, it was a little...
Jeff, you make me laugh.
Yeah. So, anyway, I got the broken neck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I couldn't walk for a few weeks.
And you wrote a book, a novel, which I wrote, a sort of creative nonfiction novel. That's what they call those. You can get away with it.
It's autobiographical fiction, I believe is what it's called.
All right.
And so, anyway, move back to Denver.
Okay.
Break my neck soon after.
Yes.
Because I hadn't been back for very long.
Uh-huh.
And I was staying with Amy just because I was back in town.
Right.
And was planning to join the Marine Corps.
Oh.
We covered this.
Oh.
And then got in the car accident. Colleen Lovato was her name.
Oh.
She had a fantastic ass.
Oh.
I remember that. It's the important details that I remember.
All right, yes. Meantime, you're bleeding to death from the skull.
And my legs don't work anymore.
And you're noticing her behind.
So, cops show up. Well, no, this I don't remember how much we talked about last episode, but this gay couple pulled over.
Yeah.
And let me use their gigantic brick cell phone.
Yes.
Because this was a long, long time ago.
Yes, yes.
And we called the cops. And then the cops came and the cop gave me shit. What'd you run into? I'm like, I got run into.
Uh-huh.
You can tell by et cetera. Then the ambulance shows up.
And you said,
if you put
me in that ambulance.
No. I had told them several times not to put me in the ambulance.
Yeah.
But what I told the ambulance driver was, if you try to cut off my leather jacket, I'm going to hurt somebody.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Anyway, so I end up spending the next 23-24 hours.
Oh, hours.
Taped to a table at Denver General.
Uh-huh.
Denver General is a level, I believe if I have the phrasing correctly, a level 4 trauma ward.
Okay.
So had I been shot.
Yes.
Stabbed, mangled, hit by a bus, a train, a car, or a snowmobile at high speed. Were I have pieces falling off, were bleeding out, or had internal hemorrhaging of some sort, mm-hmm. I was in the right place.
That's where you go.
For a simple broken neck.
Simple.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a little complex.
You are left taped on the table because you might be fucked up, but you are not about to die.
But it made you whimsical, I seem to recall.
I just needed to pee.
It made you very outspoken and comedic with all the staff, and they kept asking you if you were high. No, I'm not high.
I'm not. Do you want an Altoid? I had a box of Altoids in my coat jacket pocket.
Which was not cut off.
Nope.
All right.
And I needed to pee.
And
they gave me a bottle.
Oh, good.
And I was not long enough to get to the bottle.
Oh.
And I couldn't see because my head was taped to this fucking table.
Right,
so I'm just down there. I don't know what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have enough dick to get into this bottle.
Oh.
I'm not sure what I'm doing. That was rough. I had the Three Stooges as X-ray techs.
Uh-huh.
I was wearing a big Philly collar at this point. And they picked up the sheet to move me, and one of the guys' hands slipped me and ended up just like punching me upside the eye. You know, it's like boom, and I can't move my head, and I'm still taped to this fucking thing, and I'm just like, ow, fuck. Uh-huh. He's like, yeah, sorry. I'm like, no, really? Ow! Fuck! You know, it's like this half of my head has a big crack in it and is bleeding everywhere. And
this half gets punched.
Fine. And it gets punched. So they take me in to get x-rays, and they are moving me all over the place, and they're flopping me about, and a doctor's walking by. It's like, dude, kind of looks in, looks away, walks by, and you hear his little tennis shoes squeak. Ert!
Really?
Yeah. And he pops back in, and he's like, what the fuck, guys? The guy's got a fractured neck, and you're moving him around like a goddamn puppet. Put him down!
Oh, good, good, good.
At which point,
yes,
the Three Stooges drop me.
On the floor, on the tile floor,
into the kind of over to the side.
Oh, okay.
And then eventually into the wheelchair.
Oh, all right, all right.
So this all happens the whole time. Amy's there with me.
Amy, that's keeper.
Yep. Everything got done. They wheeled me out to her car. We went to her place, and then she and her mom and her sister fucking took care of me for months.
Yes.
Well, everything got better. And as I was starting to get better, and we moved from the Philly collar to the soft collar, that was when I bought the big truck.
Okay.
I could turn my head a little bit.
All right.
So it was almost a year in that Philly collar.
Right, right.
And my favorite memory of that, which used to scare the shit out of Amy, was what I'd do. I would lay down on the floor. Mm-hmm. On my back with a big squishy pillow that would hold my head in place, right? That I'd lean into. And then I would detach the front. I think you were here. I did it once when you were around. I don't think you liked it either.
Uh-huh.
I would detach the front of it so that it could fucking breathe and get a little air.
Oh, yeah.
And this weird scrappy-do beard thing going on and all these sores on my neck from the hair. Oh, it was awful.
It was pretty bad.
And it was so pretty fucking bad. Hot. So anyway, got off of that, got in soft collar, and then started driving to Greeley to build you stuff.
Yes. Now you were still in Amy's basement.
Uh-huh.
And God bless her. And then a person who I will not name approached me to do a production of Animal Farm, and He said, I can produce this production of Animal Farm, and it will supplement my magazine, which he had a communist magazine.
Well, I know who you're talking about. I don't know why he's not being named, because you mentioned his name several times last episode.
Oh, did I really? Oh, I don't want to piss him off.
That's fine.
Man, we still got bad blood about this, probably.
About Animal Farm?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know.
Yeah, probably. Well, maybe we're over it.
You might ask.
Yeah, but then brings it all up.
Oh, you want me to ask then?
No, I don't want you to. No. Anyway, he said, okay, so Scott said, yeah, we want you to produce this thing. And then I got a collection of underappreciated actors together who were really good at improv and...
you had some serious talent in that show.
Yeah, they were really good.
I'll absolutely admit it. From you down... It was interesting,
but
and
they were
it's
little...
Orwell, and it's and Animal Farm is not that interesting a play.
No.
But you made it interesting.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. I said to him, okay, what you need to do to produce is to get the royalties, and to do the press.
Yeah.
Really, you know, I thought what I should do is have some cojones and produce my own shows. Why don't I just do that?
Yeah.
Well, that's just, I don't know, because I'm intimidated by it, and I try and talk other people into it.
Sure. Well, look, just as a side note.
Yes.
And as I had put it together in the way that I write up the shows on the website, is that together you and I have achieved some pretty cool shit. We may have fallen short of, you know, outrageous success.
Yes,
perhaps.
Way
a few times. But for just a couple of dipshits, we've pulled off a few, and there's more to talk about too, but we've pulled off a few stunts. that we probably may not have, should have, you know? It's amazing that the band lasted as long as it did in whatever incarnation it was going through. But we just kept playing together. And so when, and it's just something I've thought of you, not in a negative way, but that it's always better to have a team.
Yes.
You know? And it's, I don't know, it, it's, I don't know why you needed somebody else to make your own shows. Because you're a fantastic director, you're a good actor, you're an actor's director, your actors love you when they work with you. And so that's, I mean, that's always been, it's always been a question of mine, you know, as to why from time to time you have stepped upon your own weenie.
Mostly I've been dead broke.
True.
Yeah, yeah. Mostly. And, you know, my own fault. Well, the fault of the stars and serotonin. I don't know. Something.
Yeah, me either. No, it's, I've always been broke as well.
No,
we're very good at that.
So we put the show together.
Yeah.
Now, the cast did a preview. I had invited some people from the college to come and see it, who did not come. We were in Gray Hall, later to be known as Norton Experimental Theater. We were in Gray Hall Black Box Theater, and we had four people come: my brother and Inez, God bless her, and Blythe, and another fella. And they saw the dress rehearsal of Animal Farm.
Right.
So then we had hooked up with the Mercury Cafe again, which is pivotal in a lot of these things for some reason.
Yeah. Because it was across the street from Muddy's.
Maybe.
Muddy's had the coffee and Mercury had the beer.
And the talent and the upstairs.
Yeah.
So I had talked to her. I said, hey, let's do this production at Animal Farm. We'll split the house. And she was all for it because she didn't have anything going. She thought, you know, why not?
Sure.
So we went through tech rehearsal, you and I and Scott. And we went through tech rehearsal and we set up what was going to happen. Not tech rehearsal with actors, tech rehearsal with tech.
Yeah.
And we had the music and the lights set. So on the way home, Scott said, I don't like the way you're directing the show. And by the way, I haven't paid the royalties or done the press. So at this point, I was very quiet. Very quiet and...
You being quiet, no good. That's suspicious right there. It's like a hyperactive toddler suddenly goes quiet, and it's like, oh no, what's on fire?
And I said, well, it's something like, if you had done your job, then you would like the way I directed, and then you could tell me what to do. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
A little tit for tat.
He took me to my parents' house, our parents' house. I said, okay, I quit. And a week before the show.
Sure.
Mistake.
Sure.
And I have quit so many things, and that was something that I should have just stuck through for the sake of my brother. Except I don't know if we were going to... He said, let's just do it. It's a communist show. They won't mind. That kind of thing.
Sure.
I was yelling, I was cussing, I was swearing at that point as we pulled up. And then as I got out of the car, he was going to put it in reverse.
Yeah.
And he just come up and tapped me on the calf with the bumper.
Yeah.
And then I went off. Then I went in through the window, grabbed him, tried to pull him out through the window. But he was held in by his
seatbelt,
and this was all just really bad. Really bad.
I didn't know any of this. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to dredge this up.
Yeah.
I did not know. It's you. I remember you telling me something very calm about what happened. We didn't do a show. You're like, oh, you know, shit happens. Kind of like that.
Really?
Yes. I have no memory of this at all.
Okay, now the...
In fact, I believe, more than likely, your brother was unhappy because I was around.
Oh, I don't think so.
Because your family has always taken such a distaste to me.
No, stop. And so he said, fine, Jeff's doing it. I'm not going to pay the royalties. That'll show him.
See? Doesn't that make sense?
No, he was broke. I mean, how could he? He had a good job, but he
was
still
running a communist magazine. Right. Chances are he had a cash flow problem. I don't mean that in a mean way.
I apologize to Scott for this for 10 million times. If he hears this now, I'm apologizing again. I should have stepped up, and I should have done my part, and I should have aided you in where you were lacking in experience.
Sure.
You know, I should have.
Press is intimidating if you don't know what you're doing.
Right. And yeah. I just thought, you know, get the pictures. And Henny was doing websites at the time. Get the pictures, put them on the websites, send it to the papers. They put it in the thing. It's free advertising. And maybe you do an interview with someone. Now, I'm going to say something that during our night before Tech Day, Nate had got us something out of his freezer.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah. Yeah, some headache medicine.
Headache medicine.
Yeah. But it wasn't. It was dang on crystal. It was meth. On paper. Oh, yeah. I'm sitting there gritting my teeth all the way.
Oh, that's because it was old and dirty.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you had so many cigarette butts. So many. You would just never throw them out.
It's true.
So I sat there and I smoked cigarette butt after cigarette butt after cigarette butt after cigarette butt.
That was why I kept them.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, this is going to wear off soon. You know, 12 hours, right?
Give or take.
Right. And the next morning we watched Bobby's World. And you put your hand on the screen and said, they never used to make cartoons like this when I was a kid.
I have no memory of that.
You have no memory of that.
But I believe.
Yeah.
I believe that it is true.
Okay.
Because it smacks of truth. It does. I remember after I broke my neck, I really didn't touch LSD very often.
Right. Well, yeah.
And when I did, I usually watched X-Files.
Oh, okay.
On VHS.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. You had the whole thing.
Still got them.
Do you really?
I have a hard time letting go of certain things that at one point in my life I loved.
Right.
I have the Indiana Jones trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
On VHS.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Tom Clancy trilogy, Baldwin, Ford.
Oh, yeah?
On VHS.
Uh-huh.
I have Braveheart.
Oh, yeah.
On,
me too.
On a dual VHS.
Right, me too.
And then I have my half of a collection of unopened The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Oh,
on VHS.
Right on. It's unopened?
Unopened.
Oh, right on. So it's worth something.
No, it's nowhere the thing. Because they're on DVD now. But, I mean, that's just it. It's like, I love Briscoe County Jr.
Right.
Love the X-Files. So I kept them. I mean, I collected a lot of, and those were expensive because you were buying three goddamn tapes at a time.
Right.
You know, which is, six episodes a box.
Mm-hmm.
And that took up a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're in a box.
And the storage unit, yeah. Which we have spent some time there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so that's what happened with Animal Farm. And then I called everybody, said, Animal Farm's not happening. No. And here's the worst part.
Oh, God.
Not the worst part. A bad part.
Okay.
Scott called me the next morning and said, well, I'll just direct it. I'll just direct it this week. I said, and instead of saying, okay, instead of being the big man and saying, okay, you should do that, I've let you down. I think there's some good material for you to work with. And I should have said, you know, and Jeff's good on the boards and all this kind of stuff. And so I said, they'll never listen to you.
Oh, That's funny as hell.
Why is that striking so funny? That was so mean and cold.
That was more juvenile and petty. That one. It was a you. I'm a director. You're a communist.
Yeah, he was a communist. But he's a very successful, what do you call money-grubbing capitalist whores? Oh, yeah. He's a businessman now.
Yeah?
Yep.
Oh, good for him.
Yep. Oh, don't you do the eye roll.
What?
I will smack you. So that's what happened with the Elephant Man.
I could have gone into business. Could have done good things.
That's what happened with Animal Farm. But then I was going up to school at UNC.
Yeah.
And you were getting your neck better down in Denver.
Taking classes at Metro State.
Yeah, yeah. And then I said, hey, why don't we do it for yourselves?
Because it all comes back. It always comes back.
Except Joel was on bass. Now Joel was a killer bass, and he had gone through theory up at UNC and stuff like that, and he was all over that fretboard.
And there was my buddy Justin.
Yeah. And that's when Justin came around. Yeah. We had that show at the Skyline.
The show at the Skyline was actually really, really good.
All right.
It was good.
All right.
It was a good show. And then it was a battle of the bands, as I recall.
Uh-huh.
And there was three bands. We played four songs?
Uh-huh.
Am I making this up?
I think that you got us a solid full night gig. And that you said, no, Justin, you have got to play. I can't play this. You've got to play over all this. So we got quite a number of people in, like maybe 35 people, which is a lot for us.
I have pictures of that night.
All right, then. And then there's me and you and Justin and Joel and Joey.
Yeah.
Me, M, and a bunch of J's.
Let's do this. Let's take a moment.
All right.
And just acknowledge the long-suffering Joey. For everything else that happened, he got dragged along whether he wanted to or not. I seem to remember a gig where we just packed his fucking drums anyway, even though he's like, I'm not going. Just fine. Packed him into his car and made him drive his drums to a gig he didn't want to go to.
And remember, Scott used to play with us at Muddy's.
Yeah.
With the Lunatic Fringe.
Yeah.
We could probably still have some Lunatic Fringe songs.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm looking for pictures from that gig. There was a... So I'm working around this time.
You're at the
I'm bartending.
Bartending?
Was it... Oh, no.
Bartending
for the Skyline,
and bouncing. Yeah,
for
yeah.
the Skyline, I was just bouncing.
Okay.
I was just a bouncer at Skyline. We got the gig. We did the gig. And then we came back and did another gig there.
That was the Battle of the Bands.
That was the Battle of the Bands one.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we did the one down on South Broadway.
7th South.
Is that what the bar was called? Across the street from a 7-Eleven?
Maybe. I can't remember
now.
It's
not Okoboji's.
No. They closed down. Yeah. Okoboji's was the name of that place.
That was the
that shut down. Okoboji's.
The night we went to play.
Right.
No, this is the one down. It was down by my house on South Grant Street where I had Saint.
Uh-huh.
But it was just up South Broadway a bit, and it was big. And it was me and you and Joel and Joey and Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Joey, Joel, Justin, Jeff.
Hi, I'm Mike.
And I was playing. I had at that point. I had a Guild M80.
Okay.
That I fucking loved.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I miss that guitar so much. And I miss that guitar so much. It was so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just so fucking heavy. And by the end of the night, I was just like a half-twisted, crippled mess.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, yeah. That one was a heavy.
Played itself.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was just the smoothest action I've ever had. The mm-hmm. nicest, whitest fretboard I've ever had on an electric. Mm-hmm. You know, it just happened to weigh 18 fucking pounds because they made it out of a dense hardwood. You know,
they made it out of the Amazon forest.
Something where gravity didn't play right. So we started doing gigs again.
Right.
Because that's what we do.
Right.
Yeah.
So we did some gigs, and then we did some up in Greeley. Hooked us up in Greeley a couple times.
Yeah. Was there a place with an airplane?
Yeah, that's the Armory.
Okay.
Yeah, big old Armory. And it had an airplane and a whole bunch of stuff on the walls. You know, those kind of bars with a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, yeah, here we are looking at stuff.
I'm trying to find
There's
old
no
pictures.
Way you're going to find that picture. And we're still in you going to Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's
going
to take a little while. Yeah, so just keep talking.
All right. Then we did some more gigs. Then I graduated. Can you believe that? Can you imagine that?
I do, actually. I was very proud of you.
And I said, okay, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to do music full time.
Now that I have my theater degree.
There you are at that beer joint up at up on State Street.
No, this was the beer joint on South Broadway.
Oh, okay.
And this one was the gig at Skyline.
Oh, okay.
It was the 96-1 Battle of the Bands.
Oh, no, 96. Yeah. Okay.
It was a metal band. It was another metal band. And then there was us.
So the folky folks.
The folky folks. But no, there's more.
But in the middle of this, you made a movie with John.
Well, that was clear back when I was still here.
Yeah. So catch us up on that. That's cool.
Well, Johnny was in film school here at the University of Utah.
Right.
And he needed to make a student film, so he wrote one called Wet Work.
Yeah.
It was about an assassin.
Yeah.
Who had a contract out on him.
Uh-huh.
And the assassin was an alcoholic because he was sad.
He was
haunted by...
Okay, he's had guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was haunted by the kills he'd had in his past. And so he took solace in whiskey and a stripper, a particular stripper.
A very particular stripper who was...
Played by the girl I did not behave well at.
All right.
And she did some cool dancey stuff.
Yeah.
Never, always clothed.
Yes.
Always covered.
Uh-huh.
Just, it was tasteful. It was a family.
Not
ABC
quite family.
And we shot it all in 16mm black and white, silent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still pretty and had my long hair.
You did. You had long hair.
My favorite part of it is still that the suit they bought me at the Goodwill.
Yeah.
Was so big.
Yeah.
Because they bought it with the jacket to fit me and the pants came with it.
Uh-huh.
And the jacket fit my shoulders. And the pants were just huge.
Oh.
And so I've got this belt cinched tight. This is before I started wearing suspenders.
Uh-huh.
I got this belt just cinched as tight as it could possibly go. And then they hang a .44 mag off my in a holster.
Right.
And so when you see that scene in the movie, my pants are just at this insane angle.
Because I got about to slip over and...
I got 15 pounds of gun hanging off my fucking side.
Yeah, that's you and...
That's me
you
in high school.
Oh, there you are.
There's me in high school. There's me going to... This is when I tried to dye my hair.
Go to his Facebook page. You can see all of these fascinating
There's
pictures.
There's me and my U2 rattling hum. This is Denver. This is Denver 2008, funny enough.
Oh, okay.
Look at how fat I am now.
Oh.
Fat. But this is me at St. Mark's. This is me at
Amy's
Jason's
house.
Old place.
Oh, Jason's place.
Yeah. That is no. There's a lot of old Denver.
Oh,
pictures
there's
in
some
here.
Old Denver pictures right there. Yeah. Okay. So do you have proof we were in Denver? And then so I was playing with the lunatic. No. The Urban Voodoo.
The Flying Squirrel Group.
And then Clint said to me, "I know this guy. He's going to sign us. All we got to do is make a CD. He's going to sign us to Sony." He told me this.
Oh.
And I bought it. I totally said, okay, that's what I'm doing with my life.
Okay.
We are making a CD.
It was
so
good.
He got us a studio. Studios do as studios do and keep finding ways to charge you and charge and charge and charge and charge. And our drummer squeaked us out of that one and we got a master.
Yeah.
And
it was good.
And Clint was busting his balls trying to get enough money, doing mortgage stuff to try and get the CD out of the studio, get the master out of the studio.
Right.
And then I said, okay, Let's give it to the guy. Let's give it to the guy. And there was no, it didn't, I guess there never was a guy.
There never was a guy?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? That is a great place for us to take a break.
All right.
We'll be back on the other side. I want to hear more about what happened when you found out there was no guy.
Oh, I kept at it.
Well, I know.
Oh, yeah.
See, I was leaving him with a cliffhanger.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Now, I have to get something entirely, completely straight after our little break.
Okay.
My brother is a good businessman. I mean, a good working person who, and I stay at his house, and he and I are getting along really well now, so that's all good, you know. And I didn't mean to cast aspersions to anything about capitalism or anything like that. He's a good guy.
He's capitalist, the big dog, though. Let's not make this very short. Yes,
he will get that joke.
Yes.
Now, also in Clint's defense, Clint is a guy who makes things happen.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a guy who got some, I think, really good. I mean, you're really good. Justin's really good. Joel's really good. But he also got a group of really good musicians together that were hard to, lucky to get them together.
Here's the thing.
And he wanted to keep that group together.
Yeah.
And he really, really, really wanted it.
You had a good name.
Yeah.
You had a good sound.
Yes.
Right? I have told you. I still somewhere, I'm not quite sure where. I know it's in storage unit.
No, probably.
But I still have that CD,
mm-hmm.
is what I'm saying. That was a group that I think even had you been in Denver.
Uh-huh.
You guys would have broke.
Oh, yeah?
I think being in Greeley...
Not quite so much, huh?
No.
No.
I mean, and that just comes down to... I have long believed that access to the wandering populace of a bigger metropolitan area like Seattle, Portland, or L.A., something uh-huh. like that, and had I had access to people that could come and do the show... You know, live and in person
mm-hmm.
in Seattle, Portland, or LA,
right?
Something like that. That the Left Show would be a much bigger show than it is now. We were fucking huge in 2012. I don't know what happened after, other than the fact that I got sad and burned out when Forrest got sick.
Oh yeah,
and you know, so. But I mean, that's really what it is. I think that the biggest challenge you guys had wasn't so much the fictional Sony guy.
Mm-hmm.
As much as it was that you were mostly in Greeley.
But then, I mean, then we had a CD, and I said, oh, I did know just the thing. Songwriter's Market. So Songwriter's Market is like a writer's market, like we buy and never use. Fiction market, poetry market.
It's a
we
big,
buy
expensive-ass book.
That we never use.
Yeah.
But this one I used. It was a songwriter's market, and it had easily 1,000 places in there, sent music producers, record companies, you know, musical plays, all this kind of, the whole lot of places to submit. So I went through the record companies, and I said, okay, this is what they are looking for. They want a pop band, you know, and we're kind of funky and kind of pop. That's just how it was. What, no integrity? No, I'm just kidding. Just no blues.
They're just different.
Yeah.
Than what you've done before.
And I got all the envelopes, and I filled them all out, and I didn't have any postage. I said, Clint, mail all these CDs to all these record companies. Well, we, of course, we never got any word back, because we hardly don't. They get like 100 submissions a day.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But for a little while there,
we were going to make it go.
There's a hope.
Yeah.
There's a little glowy part on the inside that's like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It is time for my ship to come in.
Uh-huh.
And now Clint has mailed the CDs. Any day now.
Any day.
John Q. Record Guy is going to just pop into Greeley, complain about the smell. As he opens up his briefcase and changes my life forever.
Oh, well.
Trust me, I have had the same ball of hope starting websites and
oh, for
stuff.
Real? Yeah. Okay.
Where it's just like, you know what? All I need to do is fucking finish this thing. As soon as I get this thing fucking finished, then I've got the tool that I need to succeed to this ABCD level.
Uh-huh.
And then I get the tool made.
Uh-huh.
And I start pushing.
Uh-huh.
And it's like pushing in the mud.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's, I mean, it, because we did. I mean, it's music, it's hopeful.
Uh-huh.
It always has been.
Well, same thing with theater and acting and all that.
Sure.
All the performing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we didn't play the Euphrates every fucking Tuesday night,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we didn't want to.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was a goofy, squirrely-ass coffee shop.
Zahid.
Zahid. Who wouldn't give us anything for free or a discount. No, you play for tips. You play for tips. That is all. Tips. It's like, we don't make tips here. You don't make tips here, Zahid. But we did it, and we did it for months.
Uh-huh.
You know? And we did it because it was just hopeful.
Yeah.
You know, we went to Okoboji's because it was hopeful.
That was a bad one.
That one was, again, and it just comes down to that incredibly, that one's on me. That's bad luck. And as you have stated.
We were just talking, I'm a bag of chaos, and you're.
I'm just bad luck with feet. You know? I have pulled off some incredible shit in my day, only to have it blow up in my face at the last minute, over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's my marriage, whether it's campaign jobs, whatever it is, it's just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so.
And then I saw Clint a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
so
really?
And yeah, we had a jam over at his house. I stayed over.
How's he
met
doing?
His wife. He's good. He's great. He's got his own company.
I met him a couple times.
Yeah. And just played old Free Fallen and some Darla songs. We did not play the Flying Squirrel.
Okay.
Oh, and then Austin came over on bass later after the Rockies game. And we had a good jam. And so Austin said, "So what do you think? We should do this for real next year?" Clint says, "Yeah." So I'm on it. That's what I'm doing next year. And then I'm coming to Utah, and then we're you and me will do a set with Justin and Joel.
Sure.
I think Joel's moving here.
That's weird.
I know, it'll be cool.
Cool and weird. It's just weird.
All right.
I don't know, I want out. I mean, it's like I spend at least 2, maybe 3 hours a day looking for new work.
Oh yeah.
And I'd say half, if not more than half, mm-hmm. of everything I go for is out of town.
Oh yeah.
You know, Seattle, Portland.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
San Diego. I like San Diego.
Oh, cool.
I don't want to go to LA. But if something were to pop up there, I'd certainly do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to San Francisco.
You don't want to?
I would like to visit there.
Oh, I would. It's really expensive to live.
It's very expensive to live there. So I don't want to live there. But I mean, that's just what it comes down to. Is it's. I mean, fuck! I've been back here since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it here. I just hate this state. I don't like it.
You don't like the state?
I like...
There's good people in it. I mean, people that you like.
It is. There are people that I love.
Yeah.
Here. I mean, and that's the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, from friends to family to kids. All of that. I love the geography of this goddamn state. I fucking love this state.
Uh-huh.
But as far as it is, as a weight on my mental health, being here is suffocating.
Yeah, it is.
Mentally.
It could be. I mean, it could be.
Yeah. And that's just, I mean, that's just where I've been for the last few years. It's, I have desperately been wanting to get out of town. I had a shot at a job in Melbourne. It fell through.
Oh, yeah?
I had a shot at a job in Edinburgh. Fell through.
Yeah.
You know, last minute kind of stuff. And those, heartbreaking as they were, you know, were just the portent of the weird fucking luck that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do. I am honest in a lot of ways. And sometimes I open my mouth and honesty falls out, and it may be a little dickish or rude or loud, you know, and that's gotten me into a lot of trouble over the years. I mean, that's one thing that that my ex likes to throw out is, you know, it's you shot yourself in success.
Oh, I see.
Over and over and over
again.
Yeah,
and that's what happens with me,
and
too.
It's, but it's, you know, it's, did I do the right thing at the time? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I do it the wrong way? Yeah.
Well, know. So I was going to give up and go to music full time. So I said, okay, Terry and the Pirates, everybody's moving to Utah. You guys can sit there. I'm going to be on the road. You guys can live there by your family. It won't matter. So when Voodoo ended up having the band-breaking show, which there are band-breaking shows, and you know how they go. Sometimes a chair is thrown.
Sure.
Yeah. And then it was 7 South, I think, where we played. And then there were maybe 6 people there. We made $7 a piece. And the drummer quit the band. And the bassist quit the band.
Wow.
That was it. And then I moved to Utah, and I decided to drink myself to death.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and just, and I started, I didn't start slow. I started mornings, afternoons, evenings, pass out, wake up, get some more for about 10 years. And I can't account for those 10 years.
Natural light.
Love it.
Ugh. So, meanwhile,
yeah,
while all your shit's falling apart,
yeah,
I'm in Minnesota.
Minnesota with
the governor of the great state of Arizona.
All right,
Jesse Ventura. what do you think? I went out after a girl.
Yeah,
same girl that I had behaved so poorly to about her Mowgli.
Right, but she was all into you now.
For a little while there, yeah.
Yeah.
I blew it, as I do.
Oh.
I told you, I had a lot of really short relationships, around 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And my dad said that what it was that I had 3 weeks of good material, and then it took another 3 weeks to figure out that there was nothing new coming, and that's why girls kept dumping me after 6 weeks. Because my dad is sweet like that.
And then you came back to Utah.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anything left. I think... No, we did!
Oh, yes, we did.
There's the Deseret Lounge. We played the...
We played in Pleasant Grove.
Yeah. At the coffee shop.
Yep.
Oh, yeah! And then we're both here, and Joel's here. He came here to stay with me, and he was noodling around on the base, and we got our pictures, we got our press kit done,
yeah,
and we went to the coffee shop, playing for tips, of course, but then we actually got paid at the Deseret Lounge until just Joel left town, and then so we rounded up Matt with the big, long...
Yeah.
Mullet. Now,
is Deseret Lounge, is that the one in Spanish Fork?
No. That's another one. I can't remember the Spanish Fork one, but then we did play there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in the interest of honesty...
Yes.
I did a thing...
What'd you do?
I did a thing at the Spanish Fork thing that I have long been not proud of.
Oh, what?
And that was when you got the money for the gig...
Yes.
I asked for more than everybody else because I was getting ridden at home about driving long distances and stuff. Oh, and I said, just makes sense. That. Oh, I totally did it.
All right.
And it was fucked up and it was wrong and I should not have done it. And I did it and I made a good case and you went along with me and you and I actually equivocated about this.
Did we?
And you were like, you did this thing and it's the dirtiest thing I've ever done, you said. And I was like, yeah, it really is.
The dirtiest thing you've ever done?
No, you've ever done.
Oh, I've ever done.
To join me in this larceny from other fellow bandmates. And yeah, you were absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's this weird moment.
It's honor among thieves. I mean, we can steal beer.
Yeah.
And then we can cheat on our loved ones. But then splitting different with the band, that's totally different.
Yep.
Yep.
It was, I think we had $200 mm-hmm. and we gave the other guys each 40.
Well. Yeah. But they were new, so well, no, there's no rationale.
There's no rationale, and it was all my idea, and it was one of those things that was born of hunger.
Mm-hmm. And your poor ex had to deal with me. I mean, this is right at the beginning of your relationship, and she had to deal with this whole big mess of me being around.
Yeah.
You know, and wanting to do music and stuff like that. But then we did the Deseret Lounge, and I got that Merlin's girlfriend, Merlin, and his girlfriend, and she was a good singer.
Yeah,
she did the karaoke and she just nailed the songs. And then we took Matt up there and she was Wiccan, so she was wearing a pentagram, and that was as long as Matt played with us. He said, "No, I'm not playing with you guys anymore. You're into some weird shit."
Come
I'm like,
on.
No, it's just this lady and. So he wouldn't play with us anymore. And so I borrowed his bass. We covered a show, you and me.
Yeah.
And Toby.
I remember Toby.
Right. He's, yeah.
Toby was with us in Spanish Fork.
Right. And yeah. And Deseret Lounge. And so you and me and Toby did a show, and that was that was about the end of that. And then, and then nothing. Nothing. Oh, no.
No. No, there's something.
No, we're
so
we don't have enough time.
We have plenty of time.
No time.
No, see how long the first half was?
All right.
So let's go back in time.
Okay, going back in time. Back to you being 17, me being 26.
Somewhere in the late 80s, you wrote a play, a coming-of-age play about a confused young man with too many women on his hands.
And men.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was a good play. And we did the play in a fake black box in the scene shop.
I can sleep in another place tonight if you need me to.
No, you're good, you're good.
Oh, okay.
You're good. Because, again, this is one of those where I was telling you, it's like I feel like you have taken too much of the burden upon yourself for odd behavior. Like,
all right.
Hitting the chairs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I
getting big ideas and then so just screwing them up.
We rewrite the play into a
you
film.
You and me, we had a good collaboration going on. Bleecker Street, the movie.
Yes.
I think so.
I do too.
Yes.
I threw in Girls Kissing.
We did Bleecker. No, this is back at UVCC. Very first.
Yeah.
There was Oklahoma. An Elephant Man, and then we said, hey, let's just do a show in the scene shop.
Yeah.
And so I said, I have the script, and it's hardly anybody do it, and all our good friends and good actors who were getting overlooked again.
Jeff played...
Schultz.
Yeah.
Played what's his name? The guy's name.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Jeff and Alex. JC. Alex?
I don't know. I just... So, yeah, anyway, we did the play.
And DeFendi and Juliana.
As I recall.
And Shalisa.
Yeah.
And...
As I recall, as I ran tech for it.
Yes. Is because that, he's up there in the rafters of the scene shop.
Plugging in
like
lights
some kind
and unplugging. Basically unplugging extension cords and plugging them back in.
Right, right.
For that. I remember that.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. So we decided to make a movie. We end up shooting this thing.
Well, okay. First we were at Jake's. I mean, we were at Jake's and we said, hey, let's get a movie for can't say it with a straight face.
We were so serious.
Let's
we were
get
earnest.
A movie production company together. And I was going back to do my postgraduate at the U in film.
Yep.
And I said, yeah, we'll get this thing together. We'll call it what?
Are you ready?
What?
Are you ready?
What?
The Killer Monster of Doom from Hell was our first idea. Somewhere deep beneath Mount Olympus.
Oh, the claymation would have been great.
Yeah. I mean, it's really what it would have been. But somewhere beneath Mount Olympus, the monster from Doom from Hell.
Uh-huh.
And it wakes and erupts and comes out of the mountain and starts to eat all the people.
Uh-huh. And
at
every
which point,
weekend,
a counter monster.
Every weekend, I'd come up to Jake's and we would sit on the back and I would finish off a 12 pack of Natural Light.
Yeah.
And then we would talk about our movie company, which was going to be called what?
Drickster's End.
Yes. And then it has changed since then. Now your movie company is Defenestrate Films.
Defend Film, yeah. Defenestrate Films. Well, that's just because it's a subsidiary of Defenestrate Media Group.
Oh, okay,
okay. It's part of the group.
All right.
It's basically a business license and a bunch of DBAs.
We're doing, what do you call it when you draw a shot? What do you call those?
We were storyboarding.
Storyboarding. And we were talking to Jake and we were starting our own things. We said, oh, we got to get a camera for the car. We're going to do a car. We got to get cameras for the side of the car. And I said, no, you just have guys sitting on the edge with the car and as you're walking forward and then they're shooting. And he said, no, we need a magnet to get on the car so we can do some car scenes. And we started to write a storyboard about that idea about a couple of guys riding around in cars checking out girls. You know, no big thing. I went to school. I was still drunk every morning, and I don't know how I got through those 2 years. I was on the dean's list. The United States government, God bless them, who was in debt to the Chinese $800 billion, decided not to give me any more student loans. So that was the end of that.
It's what happens.
Yeah.
Postgrad student loans are hard to get your hands on.
Right.
So I did a thing, and I feel bad about this.
What?
But I put a condition on you that at that time in your life was completely fucking unreasonable.
You feel bad about that?
I do feel bad.
Well, it was kind of your ex, too. It was kind of a condition.
Well, we can make a movie if you're not drinking.
Right. Now swear you're not going to drink all during this whole movie.
No, sure. Only on film days.
You're right.
It was
okay.
Only on film days.
Uh-huh.
Don't drink it on film days.
Uh-huh.
And we made it through. I don't know how much you were sneaking, but there was a calm sobriety until right at the very end.
Right at the very end.
The day we had to shoot your scenes. And in order to act like you were drunk, you got drunk.
Oh.
And that was rough.
Jeff.
And I got pissed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's I normally get pissed reactionary.
Uh-huh.
You know, like you say a thing and I'm like, well, I'm going to escalate that. That'll be a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I got mad and turned into a passive aggressive douche canoe.
Oh,
and
good.
And I had built a rig to do the editing down in the basement and this and that and the other. And you were ready to edit. And I was like, nope, I'm going to edit. You can't be trusted.
Uh-huh.
Because you drink too much.
Well, that's true.
And that sort of led to another falling out.
Oh, yeah, we had a falling out then.
Now, the worst part is here you and I are fighting over who gets to edit this goddamn movie.
But now, the process of the movie was enjoyable.
Oh, I had a great time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we got...
I played Alex.
We played... what was it? There's Jack and there's Paul. Diane. Paul. Paul. There we go. And then who's the friend? Lenny.
Andrew?
Andrew, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who in the scene where we had to kiss...
Yeah.
We headbutted so hard he almost got knocked out unconscious.
Oh, no.
Do you remember this?
No, I don't.
He just ran and just pushed his head in, vroom, like that, and just bounced right off my forehead. And he's like, oh, fuck. It's
like, and then so we took the script from UECC. We redid it. Yep. We had a good collaboration.
It was fun.
We wrote some stuff in.
Yep.
I was taking 4 semesters of screenwriting up at the U, and so I was doing that and doing this, and it was just, I don't know what, I was just on a high, drinking all the time and writing all the time. Yeah. And I imagine none of it, if I look back on it, I imagine some of it has some worthwhile pieces in it, but really it was just a lot of drivel. One time I gave you 30 pages of Drug Trip because that amused me, and you said this is not theater, this is not film, this is you, and please take it back. So and then we had a great idea. You and me and your ex had a great idea to make money. Here's how we're going to get money so that we can buy the little things. We're going to take an online course.
Couple of semesters of college.
Right, right. And we're going to get the student loans from them instead.
Yep.
And can we say this? Are we going to get arrested if we go on this?
No, because I did school.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the thing, is the thing, and why you think you owe me $300.
Yeah.
Was because I did the thing.
Oh, okay.
And then you did the thing a day late.
I totally did. I screwed that up. Oh, man. I owe you $300.
No, did I not tell you how I got out of that?
How?
I wrote to the teacher the day after you put in your paper.
Yeah.
Which is 2 days after I put in my original paper.
Uh-huh.
And I said, by now you're wondering why I turned in 2 papers.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically, I don't know if I like either of them, and I wanted to cover my ass for a grade.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. All right. Well, we flunked that class.
We did. We did.
And so we had to get all the student loans back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there was the drinking.
Uh-huh.
Plus, there was the editing in the editing bay in the basement.
Well, the editing argument that was moot.
And then... And then we had a falling out, and then there was back and forth emails. I don't know how many emails, back and forth. Oh yeah, well you did this, and 17 years ago you did this, and then you do this and this and this.
I don't remember this.
Oh no, whole lots of emails back and forth.
I'm sorry.
No, and then you were making me a computer. You were putting me together a computer because that was, and then the computer worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I came up and I got that damn computer, and we're just kind of not talking to each other while I'm getting that computer so I can take it down and put it together. And then what happened, and then you were going to do the editing, and Mike, Mo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brenda had me, not Brenda, your ex, am I going to be in trouble?
No.
You can rewind that.
Fuck, dude. We're 1.5 hours in. There's no way she's put up with the sound of my voice this long.
And then Brenda was rid of me. She had you. And she was having a baby.
Yep.
We had... I used to hold Kyla when she was little.
We already had Kyla.
Yeah.
This was... She was pregnant with Matt. And... I remember one day where she was sitting out in the car waiting for me to finish a scene.
Oh, that was bad. That was bad.
And she just fucking storms up the stairs and shows up with one kid in arm and one kid on hand. And you fucker. In front of everybody.
But we got some good talent, didn't we?
Yeah.
We got some good talent from all students, all willing to take their pay on the back end. whatever back end it was, when we didn't even have money to submit, how are we even going to know if there's going to be back? Really, we're just doing the exercise.
But you put together a sizzle reel, and then you use that to try and get enough money to do submissions.
Okay,
I mean,
okay.
You build a trailer.
Oh, okay.
And then hunt the money for submissions that way and then build up that way. It's like multi-level marketing. It's you're going after friends and family to say, hey, we've done a thing. Here's proof of concept. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the whole movie. Here's our trailer. We need to raise $15,000 to submit to these 10 places.
Oh, okay.
And that was the plan for that. So while you and I are having a pissy fit argument over who's going to edit this thing.
Yeah.
There's two things happening.
What?
One, somebody else, Mo, has all the tapes. You and I don't have a single thing to edit. We don't have a deck. We don't have an interface. We have fuck all. He's got all the tapes.
And then it's all in Mac and PC. Is there a difference?
No, it was
between...
all PC.
Oh, okay.
We were gonna edit in an Avid system.
Okay.
Before they got really douchey and started doing dongles, but anyway, he started to digitize the tapes.
And you and I aren't talking. You and I aren't talking till what? 2 years ago, we aren't talking till. I haven't seen you since
15 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Turns out most of the tapes are damaged.
Okay.
They've dropped frames.
Okay. Tell me what that is.
That's where when it records on the tape, it records in layers.
Yeah.
It's got layer one and layer two.
Okay.
Right, and that makes the whole picture.
He's making finger things. Right.
Like finger things.
Like
when you have drop frames, you've lost half the information.
Okay.
And so all you have are stripes
show,
and then stripes of blank. And what I always felt bad about, and again, I have begged for those tapes I don't know how many times. I was just like, Mo, can we please? I haven't seen him since the last day we filmed.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he mad at us still?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that he was mad at us.
Okay. I tried to friend him on Facebook. No go.
I might be friends on here. I don't know.
No, I don't think you are. I don't know.
All right, let's take a look.
There he is. Look at how slick he looks. He is such a handsome devil.
He really is. And the ladies liked him.
The ladies liked him. Good script, good actors, including yourself.
I don't know about that.
A dogma film type of philosophy where you just do the basics, and to get the story down. And then we got 31 hours of footage.
Yeah.
And Mo has it all.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if he still has it.
Uh-huh.
I would be surprised if he did. But at the very least, we owe several actors some audition tapes. You know?
Those actors, I just fell through on them. I put my everything. I said everything I had. I even got a private student loan. I got a private student loan that my dad has just paid off. God bless him.
Aw.
Yeah. So that we could do this. This is it. I'm putting everything on the line. This is what is going to get me a job in Hollywood. I don't care if I got to hold the microphone. This is the thing that's going to get me a job. And so I put everything into it. You put everything, more than everything, into it. With your ex being a little bit withholding.
Or unimpressed with.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was like we were shooting every weekend.
Yeah.
We'd shoot Saturday, or Friday through Sunday.
5 weekends.
I think it was more than five.
No, 5 weekends.
5 weekends?
Yeah, do school during the week, do 5 weekends.
And I was blowing off work to take the weekends.
Oh, yeah, you totally were.
And she was just, I didn't know you'd be taking time off work. It's like, well, when the fuck was I supposed to film? Uh-huh. You know, and it was late, and we only had the one piece of shit car, and she had a brand new kid, and her own kid, and her shitty house with the shitty fucking, I mean, I'd really put her out.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, and I'm sorry for that. I like her. there's many,
you know,
a lot of
so
times, many a lot of times where we didn't quite gel.
Sure.
And a little bit of guarded, you know.
Yeah.
If I saw her now, I don't know if I'd say, you did, you know, I don't know if we'd have a confrontation or anything.
You could just say, hello.
I could say that.
How have you been? And say, she'll say, I spent 16 years married to that. And you just say, my condolences, so did I.
Except I'm longer. I was longer.
We had a break.
Oh, okay.
We were on break. So we shot this thing. I remember one of my favorite exchanges we had was we were doing edits back and forth, and I edited, I wrote in a whole scene in which two of the girlfriends kissed.
Yes.
You said, why?
What did I say?
You said, why? And I said, because we're going into film festivals, and if you don't have girls kissing at a film festival, nobody will pick up your movie.
Oh, we're such idiots. How are we still alive?
I don't know.
How are we still breathing? Oh, how come no one has killed us? Oh, Jeff.
That is the biggest question.
How come we haven't killed each other? It's karma. I got to pay off your karma. You've got to pay off my karma.
I'm still paying off my grandma's karma for killing the ERA.
ERA?
Yeah.
The earned rent average?
No, the equal rights amendment.
Oh, okay.
You remember Grandma? Grandma Bobbs?
Oh, yeah.
She was the Mormon Church's mouthpiece against the Equal Rights Amendment.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. It was funny. Just as an off and inside, so that we can get away from the awkward apologies we were making. I met Phil Donahue again.
Really?
He came through town when I was doing some human rights work, and he came to do a thing. And so I got to meet him after, and I said, hey, I don't know if you remember my grandmother or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, from here? And I said, yeah. He says, Barbara Smith? And I'm like, yeah, that was my grandma. He's like, oh, I do remember her. She was very, very nice. She was on the show a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you remember her? He's like, yeah. Tell her hello. And I said, I will. And this was right before she died. This is about 6 or 7 months before she died.
So Phil Donahue says hello.
Phil Donahue says hi. I said it so casual, too. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, Phil Donahue told me to tell you hello. Where did you see Phil? We're doing a thing together. I did the graphics package. I did the press work. I did the all the comp stuff. I booked the theater. I did all of that work.
Uh-huh.
And then he came and did a presentation for 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
You know, and as far as I'm concerned, Phil Donahue and I worked together.
All right.
Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And so now, in the last few months, mm-hmm. I've been starting to get some of my music. I put my compilation one of my compilations of original music. I'm trying to get you in the next few weeks to get a compilation of your original music. And we're going to have to re-record Darla's stuff and make it presentable. And then...
Is she dead?
Oh, I don't know. I can't find her.
Why would we record her stuff?
Because it's the story of Avalon.
No.
Yes.
We don't say that name.
Anyway, now we got a script. We got a script and a soundtrack. And, I mean, no, you got to have a woman to sing those songs.
I'm thinking...
of other songs.
We might want to rewrite the songs.
No rewriting songs. No. Darla is genius, and we are going to... those songs are going to sell that damn movie. And then, when she finds us, we're going to say, here is your money that we have saved for you.
Your motherfucking movie money.
It's movie money.
You can have it when I get my boots back.
Oh, Jim, you're such a tool.
I want my boots.
No, Darla, here, this is for you. This is for you. Us doing all this re-recording of our old material, and we ran into some of your songs, and I have it on cassette, and I digitized it finally, and Jeff has listened to that whole Avalon demo, and we're going to, with your permission, no, no. They were half my songs, let's say. The music was mine and the lyrics and melody were hers. The chord progression.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to try and sell a movie about a very creative nonfiction point in our life.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to give that a shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now you got to read my new pages. They're good.
What I need to do is get a copy of Final Cut, or not Final Cut, Final Draft.
Yeah.
So that we can actually write back and forth.
Oh, that's a good idea.
In an editor, as opposed to this like tab, 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 all caps, stuff like that.
Okay.
So I will invest in that soon.
All right.
I will get you some music. I owe you music.
All right.
I haven't touched.
I owe you $300.
I haven't touched anything. I mean, I've played guitar some.
We did Richard Dean Anderson. You did.
Yeah, I haven't done anything since.
Oh, well, we'll get on.
I need to go back and do it again. I hate it.
All right, we're way, way, way over time. Hey, anybody who's listening this long, thank you.
But we're caught up.
All right, we're caught up.
We're caught up.
Caught up to the present.
So that's the prologue.
To the demise that we are.
And after this, it's the further adventures. The older adventures.
Oh, jeez. Hey, you guys, seriously, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. And when I see you, I will apologize in person. But I just had to tell the truth as much as I could.
Yeah.
All the way on this, and so.
Well, thank you. I have stolen 5 hours of your time. Five and a half hours.
Oh, cool.
Well, because we had the 1 hour we recorded.
Oh, that was a son of a bitch.
That didn't record.
Oh.
It just disappeared off the hard drive.
That was karma. That was kismet. It was not supposed to happen.
I don't think that's a thing. But that's just me. You know, you are a man who has belief in your life. I am a man who has suspended belief.
Uh-huh.
Complete.
Okay.
You know, I think the Marvel Universe is real.
It is?
Yeah.
And so is the DC.
Because I've suspended both belief and disbelief.
Oh, okay.
I am just an open vessel to stuff pop culture into.
I'm going to have to listen to all this.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to make a lot of calls.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're making the assumption that anybody's actually listening to this shit.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anymore. I checked out years ago. Forrest got the cancer, and 20 to 30 hours a week working on these shows turned into 5 to 6 hours a week.
Oh, yeah.
And it has only been very, very recently that I have been able to just kind of pull my head out of my ass and start building the shows back up to where they were. Because we were, like I said, in 2012, man, we were fucking huge.
Yeah.
We were obscenely big. And so that's just something I'm working on now. And part of that is like this, is doing more content.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I can raise enough money for it off of Patreon.
Hey, good idea.
Patreon.com/defenmedia.
Yeah, they're going to.
D-F-E-N media.
They're going to. They're going to shovel load us money.
No.
They're going to hear this and they're going to shovel load it.
I think I'm giving too much on the same feed. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Mike, thanks so much for just indulging me in this.
Thank you, Jeff.
I gotta
thanks for asking.
Doing this. I'm going to keep making these damn shows.
Good idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it, folks. If you feel as though you were painted in an unfair light, by all means, reach out at theleftshow.com. There's a contact us there, and I'll be happy to respond to your solicitor's mail.
Solicitor's mail?
Yeah.
Okay.
From lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or personal complaints. Please don't block me on Facebook. Let me know what I did wrong, and I will apologize for it in an episode in the future. Or some shit like that. I don't know.